This is a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information. The John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Good morning. It's the John Gambling Show. Joe Bartlett and Rita Cosby today in for John. As a matter of fact, John is going to check in this morning. In the 7 o'clock hour, he'll be calling us. He is in Germany. Now, John was supposed to have the prime time slot 10 minutes after 7 o'clock, but he got bumped today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he did.
He got bumped.
He got bumped for a lot of good folks. We have somebody else that you may recognize, Mayor Mike Bloomberg, who's
going to be there.
So John decided to defer to him.
We'll tell John, the mayor bumped you. You have to hold on until we're down with the mayor.
See if that affects his Friday shows.
A couple people got bumped for some good guests today.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some interesting folks, and a lot of people are, of course, coming into New York, too, from all over the country. Secretary Chertoff, we've got a lot of folks from Washington coming up. And by the way, not just New York, but Washington is having a big memorial. I was talking to a lot of friends in Washington yesterday, and they're very excited. They're expecting 16,000 people outside the Pentagon today, and they're doing this beautiful memorial with benches. And some of the benches that are facing inward toward the Pentagon are representing the colleagues that were killed inside the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. The benches that are facing out represent the people who were killed outside the Pentagon and in the plane.
Because I've seen the picture. I couldn't figure out why they were going all different directions.
And isn't that fascinating?
And each bench has a reflecting pool, too, doesn't it?
Each one has a reflecting pool, and I think it's done in chronological order, at least of the ages of the victims, because they lost about 200 people there. But it's a very somber day, but also an inspirational and beautiful tribute that's supposed to be taking place there this morning. And also, I don't know what's happening in Shanksville, but I would imagine they're probably doing something there where that fourth plane that was, of course, headed for the U.S. Capitol, but was diverted, United Flight 93. When we talk about, I'm curious to hear from all of you, but when I think of 9/11, I think of Todd Beamer and him saying,
Let's roll.
How can you forget that famous line? What an American hero, and everybody on all those planes, but particularly the people who had the guts on United Flight 93, knowing that there were three planes that had already gone down.
I just caught part of that movie again over the weekend, and it was, once again, like I couldn't turn, like as I was flipping through and it was on, I couldn't turn it. I had to sit with it and stay with it.
Just think, what could have happened had those passengers not taken control of that plane. I mean, that could have gone to the Capitol.
Those folks were definite heroes.
I consider it the first win in the war on terror.
Yeah. Absolutely. And finding out, here they were calling their loved ones to say, we're on this plane, we're being hijacked. And can you imagine their loved ones having to tell them, by the way, this is what's happened to three other planes, and guess what's going to be happening to yours? Yeah. And then to say, we've got to band together, we've got to take back. And just as you said, we've got to fight for freedom. We've got to do this for America. What extraordinary individuals.
Well, hopefully we have more victories like that. And someday we get the upper hand on this threat on terror. But it's not going away. And with us this morning to tell us where we stand in the war on terror, we have a terrorism expert who has been with us throughout the story, actually even before it, has been a guest here on WOR, Harvey Kushner. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, Gerald. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good morning. Harvey, as we look back, this is Rita Cosby. And, how are you? 9/11, I know you and I have talked throughout the years about terrorism. What are your perspectives? Here it is 7 years later.
Well, first of all, let me just set the stage by telling you I'm sitting here in American Airlines waiting to take a flight out to Dallas. And this is the first time I've actually flown on 9/11. I fly quite regularly, but, it's in my mind today. And, I'm kind of suspicious looking at everybody before we board the plane. But we're probably better off than we were prior to 9/11. Certainly we're aware that we have a significant problem. Are we home safe? Absolutely not. Can this happen again? Absolutely. Will it happen again? Most likely. There's a lot more we need to do, but I can tell you firsthand, I went through security this morning, and I was kind of amazed at how quickly I went through and how quickly they examined my baggage. I was kind of disappointed. I would have thought that person looking at it would have, unless the technology has advanced that much, and it hasn't. I know exactly what they use. The reading of it is an interpretation as well. So, you know, you got to think about the situation we're in and what protocols have been put in place. We can't say that we're worse off, we're better off, but quite frankly, we're not home safe.
You know, as you talk about being there at the airport, what's the mood at the airport on 9/11 too?
It looks kind of somber, quite frankly. Oftentimes, when I'm here early in the morning, people are half asleep. But today, I think people are quite, you know, concerned because, you know, as I'm walking up, the newspapers are sitting there on a newsstand, and you see the 9/11 on there. So, you know, it's a moment for thought. And I will be in the air, actually, on an American flight heading in the direction that one would have been heading, possibly. So I'm going to give it some thought. My prayers are out to all of the people who perished that unfortunate day, Reader. As you know, Joe, this has been a changing point, really, a tipping point in our society. And it's sort of most things revolve around it. I know this is 7 years beyond. I mean, it's shocking that it's passed so quickly, and but the threat is absolutely still there, positively.
That concerns me because everybody, you included, said it's just not a matter if, it's when. In terms of, now this is hard for you to answer, but is there a particular interest, for example, here in Lower Manhattan? Do you think the terrorists are interested in hitting here again because this continues to be the financial center of the world?
Well, yes, Joe. If you look at patterns and patterns that develop, and we tend to look at this, we try to see how, if it's possible, something could occur. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to you know, scare people, but if you look at the first bombing of the World Trade Center in 93, and then it was approximately about 8 years after that when they struck again, and it was a new president. We're coming up on a new presidential election. We will have a new president, and we're coming up at a serious, at a time frame beyond when 2001 occurred. So the answer to that is sure. I mean, New York is still the most important target. It will always be. It's the financial capital of the world, but it's symbolic of the Western world. It's symbolic of the United States. So one, you know, shudders to think that, you know, we're still walking around with bullseyes on our backs.
And, you know, Harvey, I always worry. I think you hit it right on the head. And we were talking about this yesterday, too, just with the emergence of a new president. It's sort of an uncertain time in America. You know, a lot of Americans don't know who they're voting for. We had a lot of terrorism experts on yesterday who were saying that even the chat rooms are sort of buzzing about, is it going to be, you know, Obama? Is it going to be McCain? Do you think they're going to sort of test our might in some shape or form, depending who comes into office?
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to get too political here, but certainly they'll test it much more if with an Obama presidency. We've seen that, and I think, in fact, with the Russians' move into Georgia, I think was a testing. They know we're spread out in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and we don't have the ability, and we talk about the problems with Iran. So, yeah, that's been their tendency, Rita and Joe, ever since the early 70s and into the 80s when we were tested by Iran and Lebanon for a decade. Each president is tested, each administration is tested, and the will for the American people to go the distance, that always comes up. But again, back to the original question, you know, there's no such thing as the law of averages. You know, you could be standing in a roulette wheel in Vegas and red comes up 26 times in a row and you say, what's the odds of it coming up again? You know, and it's actually red. But, you know, there are patterns. They do develop over time, and we do look at them. Do we bet the ranch that it will happen on a specific day? No, but the chances are, given what Al-Qaeda has done in the past and given what militant Islam has over the last three decades, you know, we're kind of overdue.
What about the nuclear threat, Harvey? I mean, I don't want to get too scary here, but you know, that's what everybody's talking about here.
Well, they are, and quite frankly, Joe, I don't lose much sleep over it, just as I don't lose much sleep over a biological or chemical incident, because those things are extraordinarily difficult to pull off. And over the years, we've seen the terrorists up the ante in terms of keeping nothing sacrosanct. I mean, if they could attack a school full of children, they would. So I have no doubt if they had the ability to use a biological weapon or a chemical or a nuclear, they would have if they had it now. So I think that's pretty much on our side. I mean, I think the more dangerous thing is for a nation like Iran or if Pakistan goes bad, for them to, you know, use something like that. But in terms of Al-Qaeda, the delivery of that type of an instrument is extraordinarily difficult, as well as with biological. I mean, we have to be vigilant. We have to look out for it. But, you know, I'm more concerned with just the garden variety, blowing up a building or a suicide mission or something like that, which would cripple our economy.
You know, how much better do you think we are, Harvey, at understanding chatter? Because I was just talking about my reflections of 9/11, and it astounded me. I remember at the time, as soon as that second plane went in, and I was talking to someone at a federal agency, right away they were talking about Massoud. They were talking about the warning signs. They were talking about the chatter. And now, of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but then they were sort of putting all the pieces together pretty quickly and saying, look, here are the warning signs that we missed. We also heard that they didn't believe they had enough Arabic and, you know, interpreters and translators and also informants in the right places. Have we gotten better, I guess, at infiltrating that group? In other words, being able to preempt attacks and understand what the chatter means.
Yes and no. We have gotten better, but you're right. We don't have enough translators, quite frankly. And the technology reader has also gone way beyond what it was in 2001. So that poses even a more significant problem. But I can tell you this, that the surge, and this might sound like I'm going off track here, but the surge in Iraq is testimony to our ability, at least our military's ability, to understand chatter and to understand human intelligence and technological intelligence. And we've been able to take out targets very strategically and very surgically. That's why the surge works so well, is because we're able to kill people off and neutralize them before they have the ability to hitting us. So that sort of transfers over into other areas, but quite frankly, there's no seamless transfer, guys, between what the military has and puts into operation in terms of their collection of data and interpretation and civilian law enforcement. Because it's fair to say that we're talking on in September 2008, and yet there isn't full cooperation between agencies. And a case in point is talking here from New York. New York Police Department does a wonderful job, but, you know, there's no seamless transfer of information between them and the federal agencies. In fact, there's a lot of animosity because the federal agencies view New York City, for example, is going off on their own and collecting intelligence.
Okay. A lot of work to be done. Harvey Kushner, thank you very much, and have a safe flight this morning. So thank you, Harvey.
Thanks, Harvey.
Thanks, Joe.
See you later. Harvey Kushner, terrorism expert and editor of FamilySecurityMatters.org. If you'd like to check that out, FamilySecurityMatters.org.
You've been listening to a podcast from the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Log on to WOR710.com for more information.